Last week was Easter. I don't know if you noticed, but we did around here. And it was a great week, and we celebrated resurrection. And there are all these stories in the scripture right after Easter. These are the after Easter stories of Jesus showing up to his disciples. And so today, what we're going to do is spend a few minutes just looking at the scripture and reading one of these stories of Jesus meeting his disciples after Easter. Would you pray with me as we open the scripture? God, we give you thanks for your word. We're amazed that you would speak to us. God, you've spoken through the generations to the church through your word. And even to us, this group right here, this group in this room today. So, Father, would you meet us as we open your word, as we read your scripture? God, give us clarity, help us to understand it. And then give us your Holy Spirit that we might actually put it into practice in our lives, that we might actually live this out. And we pray all of this in your holy name. Amen. Most of the after resurrection stories involve fish of some sort. There's like people fishing, being eaten, that kind of stuff. A lot of that has to do with the disciples. They were fishermen, and they saw Jesus on the cross, and then they saw him go to the grave, and they did not know what to do. And so they went back to fishing. They went back to their everyday lives, and there was a lot of confusion and fear at the time. And so they were fishing. They were fishing, catching fish, eating fish. I have never been a fisherman. I always wanted to be. That seems cool and manly and all, but I didn't grow up fishing. And so, we got fish mostly at McDonald's, to be honest with you. That was just kind of what we, but I remember being a kid, and we went to a vacation in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, way, way, way up there. And we were at a kind of rustic cabin on a lake, cold, cold water. And there were these girls that were fishing, and they grew up different, man. They knew what they were doing, fishing. And they were fishing and catching these fish. And they were like, we're gonna catch them and eat them, you know. We're gonna grill these things up and eat them. It's gonna be delicious. And I've always heard, man, that's so delicious, right? Catch fresh fish and you grill it up and you eat it, so delicious. But I never understood the part in between that where you get a knife and you gotta, like, you're cleaning this thing. It involves cutting the heads off and fish guts, and it wasn't as cool as I had imagined that would be. I've never been good at that stuff. These fishing stories with Jesus seem to happen, you know, by the lake, and they just grab some fish and throw it on the grill. That's what they were around. That was their everyday life. And I want to read one of those with you today. Luke chapter 24. So if you got your Bible, you can pull that out. Luke chapter 24. You can open it on your phone or follow along on the screens with me. And we're gonna pick it up in verse 36. Luke chapter 24, verse 36. It says this. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Now, when you see that, you got to go, well, what were they talking about, right? While they were still talking about this, well, what were they talking about? Jesus had gone to the cross. He had gone to the grave. He was resurrected, but word wasn't totally out yet. They didn't know or fully understand. And so Jesus appears to a couple of the disciples. They were on a road to Emmaus. Jesus appears and talks to them. They don't recognize him until he breaks bread with them. And they're eating together, and they break bread, and finally their eyes are open, and they recognize him. And then they come running back to Jerusalem, and they tell the rest of the disciples. And that's the conversation that was going on. These two breathless disciples coming back and sharing with the rest of them about this resurrection. We've seen Jesus. He revealed himself to us. We've been with him. And then Jesus shows up right in the middle of that, and he says, "Peace." Now, that's that word shalom. It means everything is okay. It means everything is right. It means everything is as it should be. That's the word for God doing the work of restoration in our broken world. That's the shalom word. Things are whole. And he says, "Peace be with you." And they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything to eat? I love that. Just hang on for a second, right? He's like, here I am. It's me. I'm not a ghost. You know, I got scars in my hands. Look, you can see. And they still didn't believe him because of joy. I don't know how that works. They were so excited that they couldn't think straight. I don't really know what was going on in that moment. But there's a lot of confusion and being unsure. And so Jesus says, well, you got something to eat? That's a good question, right? That's a good post-resurrection question. You got something to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. Not fried fish, not blackened fish. Broiled fish. Very specific. They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it, and he ate it in their presence. And he said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophet, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures, and he told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Jesus shows up and he says, you got something to eat. And of course they did. Broiled fish. That's what they eat. These are fishermen. They've been fishing. They've been hanging out together. They probably were in the middle of a meal talking when Jesus shows up and they give him this food. There's a real important point that they want you to get. He's not a ghost. He's not some apparition. There was a belief in the time and around the area that ghosts might appear. Someone would die, and they had some belief that they would often see someone that had recently died as a ghost. And we still kind of hear stories like that sometimes, and we often sort of laugh them off or just go, yeah, whatever, or something like that. But at the time, that was a very serious thing, and they talked about it a lot. It was kind of a common story. And Luke wants you to hear it real clearly. Jesus was making a big point here. I'm not that ghost kind of thing. I'm a body, like I've come back. It's resurrection, and he comes back in the resurrected body, not just sort of a spiritual body. That's really, really important. It was important to them because it's not the kind of ghost stories that they had heard. No, this is a story of something new, of someone facing everything, even death, and being resurrected from that, being made wholly new. That was an incredible story. But even for us, I think throughout the centuries, there have been people who have looked at this story of resurrection and said, you know, Jesus is this great teacher. He's a great prophet. But it's about his spirit, and it's about the spirit of Jesus, and sort of the resurrection story, people have said, is sort of a spiritual story. It's kind of a spiritual resurrection. You know, it's the idea of Jesus rising. It's the idea of love rising. That's sort of what we're talking about, because it's hard for us to get in our minds and in the frame of reference that we have that he would rise bodily, right? In body, like here are my hands, here are my feet, give me a piece of fish. But the Christian story insists that this Jesus was resurrected fully, that it's not just an idea or the spirit of Jesus, but that Jesus was resurrected in body, and he sits down and he eats with them. He gets fish all over his hands, and he needs a napkin, but they haven't been invented yet. And so he just uses his, you know, robe or I don't know, right? He joins their meal. He joins into their normal life. It's so ordinary, actually. Broiled fish is just what they ate. It's just so ordinary. He comes in and he does something completely ordinary. He's in the middle of their real lives, their real family, their real story. It's not just an idea out there or this spiritual kind of vague thing. No, this is the living God. God, who created all things, becomes a man, goes to the cross and to the grave, faces death, and is resurrected and shows up and eats a meal with them. You know, there are all kinds of meals recorded throughout the Gospel of Luke. That you can trace Jesus' story through the Gospel of Luke just by looking at meals. In fact, you could say Jesus ate his way through Luke, right? That's just he just one meal after another, one party after another, and they had to be thinking, these disciples that have been with him so long, they had to be thinking of some of those meals that were shared. You know, at first, there's hopelessness. He had shared these meals with them and these incredible promises and this incredible hope that they shared over these meals. And then he goes to the cross and they had to be wondering, maybe it's not true. But now as they sit there eating a piece of broiled fish together, the idea must be starting to creep up in them. Wait a minute, this is real. Wait a minute, this can have real impact for our real lives. Jesus ate early on in the Gospel of Luke with Levi, the tax collector. A bunch of tax collectors and sinners were there, and Jesus makes that statement. Says, I've not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. I've come for broken, sinful people, not for the people that have it all together. They heard that. They had great hope. That they then saw him on the cross and in the grave, and they thought, well, maybe that's just too good to be true, but now they share a piece of broiled fish, and they're like, whoa, maybe Jesus really did come for people like me, and maybe Jesus really can bring repentance. That's to turn, change, life change, can bring life change for somebody like me. Or the dinner that he shared at Simon the Pharisee's house, and he starts talking about, there's a woman there that was considered sinful, and he starts talking about the forgiveness of sins. And they were shocked that day when he said, you know, your sins are forgiven. And they were just shocked at that. But then they saw that he finally, what happens if you start forgiving sins, you end up on the cross and in the grave. And so maybe that's too good to be true. But this day when they're sitting around and they're sharing a piece of broiled fish, they go, wait a minute, maybe it is true. Maybe sins can be forgiven, maybe even mine. Some of them had to be with him when he shared a meal with 5,000 people. He only had a few pieces of bread, and they start to break it, and it just multiplied, this incredible miracle, and it was a magical moment. But when they saw him on the cross, they must have thought, well, that was a magical, fleeting moment. But on this day, when Jesus shows up and says, see my hands, my feet, and he sits at their table, they start to go, maybe miracles really can happen. Maybe God really is in that business. Maybe God does really change. Remember the meal that Zacchaeus, the tax collector, was called out of the tree. And he thought, Jesus is even for people like that. And here they sit and they go, maybe Jesus is even for us, like for my family. Maybe this isn't just some spiritual idea out there. Maybe God is at work in the real issues that I have to deal with. Maybe God cares. Maybe God has come close to my life. This is a picture of Jesus eating broiled fish with his disciples, and it matters. Then he goes on. He starts to teach them from the scripture. He starts to walk through the law and the prophets and the Psalms, and he starts to talk to them about all the things that had to happen. And it's interesting. Scripture says their eyes were opened. And I love that. That's a pattern that we see in scripture often, that as people hear and learn from the scripture, they miss it until their eyes are opened. And we understand that in a biblical reading of scripture, that sometimes as I go to scripture, I'm just lost in that. It's just a bunch of text. It's a whole bunch of information I don't fully understand, doesn't fully capture me. But God opens eyes. And so when we go to scripture, we pray, God, would you open my eyes? Would you help me see what you have to say for me in this? Would you help me to understand this passage? Would you help me to understand your word? Because it takes God opening our eyes to actually understand the scripture. And so Jesus teaches them through this, and then he says, now here's your job. You're to be witnesses. So he says the gospel's going to go from Jerusalem out to all nations. This good news, this story of life change, it's going out. And your job, witness, that's your job. Now, witness is someone who tells the story. It's just a storyteller, someone that says, this is how God changed me. This is how God worked in my life. This is how God, I saw Jesus at work in the lives of people around. I was around. I saw this transformation happen. A witness is someone who points back to God. He doesn't say, you guys have to go fix it all, make it all right, you know, fix the world, redeem the whole world. No, he says, go be witnesses. Go be witnesses. Point to what God is doing and what God has done. Go tell that story. And so he sends them out. And in that way, he sends us. He says, your job, our job as disciples, as followers of Jesus, is to be witnesses. Not to fix it, but to point to what Jesus has done in our lives, to what God is doing in our world. And then he gets them all ready to go, right? He says, here it is, guys, right? I'm truly God. I came into this world. I lived. I went to the cross for your sins. I offer forgiveness of sins. I went to the grave and I was resurrected. This is an incredible story. This is great hope. You have the hope of the world. And we're going to take this out from Jerusalem to the edges of the earth. Now, ready? And I would expect him to say, go. But he says, ready? Wait. Did you see that in there? Ready? Wait. Here it is. Right at the end, this is verse 48. He says, you are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. The book of Luke and the book of Acts, that's a two-part book, right? Part A, part B, they go together. And the book of Acts, he's going to tell the story of the Holy Spirit coming to the church in Pentecost and filling the church and empowering them to do ministry. That's the whole book of Acts. So he's kind of leading into the book of Acts. But he says this real, and it's just interesting to me. I think it's this moment of sending, and instead it's a moment of waiting. Because it's a moment of understanding that it's not in their power that things will be changed. But it's actually by the power of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't say, go out and make a difference. He says, wait, because this is a Holy Spirit kind of stuff. The changes that need to happen in people's lives and in communities, those are so big. It's not, we don't just easily make change. The life change that needs to happen only happens because of the gospel. It only happens if the Holy Spirit has filled you and is overflowing. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Your job is to be a witness. So you have to wait. When I first started in ministry, I was a youth pastor. And I didn't know what I was doing. I was still in college even. In one of my early assignments that just kind of sticks with me, I find myself talking about it often, was to be with a kid, a teenager whose dad was dying of cancer. He was going to die any day. And I had to go sit with him, and I had no idea what to do, you know. And so I took him fishing because I don't know what else. That's what he knew. He knew how to do. I obviously didn't. I just sat there. But we went fishing and we just sat there. And he was so in pain. I mean, it was so much. It was such a difficult situation. And I just wanted to fix this kid. Like, I wanted to help him. I was trying to think of all the ways that I could be helpful and we could help make something better, and there was nothing, you know. And I was thinking, well, you know, is there something I could do with his dad or something, you know, to make that? No, there really was nothing there. And then I was thinking, well, is there a way, you know, I could come alongside him, kind of step into that role that he wasn't going to have anymore, or I could find some other adult that might be, you know, able to do that. I mean, those are all great things to try to, you know, maybe think through. But at the end of the day, I go, whoa, I got nothing. None of this is going to fix this situation. I remember thinking, like, I signed up for this pastoring gig, but this seems like powerless, right? It's just kind of a waste. I'm just sitting here. I started to understand, it took some time. I started to understand that actually my job was to be with him. That there's this God who created the world that holds this kid in his hands, right? And who loves him. and is walking alongside him. And he used me to be hands and feet. And the way, that's what the scripture talks about, us being the hands and feet. And the way that I was able to do that was just to be with him, because God was with him. And just to slowly be a witness, no major revelation, no big fix, but just to slowly be a witness and say, hey, there's a God who loves you and is with you and is walking with you through this. That there's a God who will be with you through the course of your life. This is life-altering. It's life-changing. It's not easy, but God hasn't abandoned you. He's walking with you in this. And my job was just to be a witness and to see the Holy Spirit begin to work in that student's life. You see, that's our calling. That we'd be the people of the Holy Spirit. That we'd be clothed in the Holy Spirit. That we would be the witnesses, the point to the work that God is doing. That's a calling. Would you pray with me? God, would you clothe us in your Holy Spirit? Would you wrap us tightly? When we think about all the things in this world that are broken and need to be fixed, when we think about the things even in our own lives, God, we know that it's by your Holy Spirit that lives are made new. We know this by your Holy Spirit that people are redeemed. We know it's by your Holy Spirit that there is repentance, that there is turning and changing. So God, send us your Spirit. May we not try to fix everything, God. But may we be witnesses. Would you make us people that point to the work that you're doing in this world? We pray all of this in your holy name.